Reading today is Ephesians chapter 1, and you can find it in the Church Bible on page 1173, Ephesians 1, 1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want you to imagine that you are standing at the foot of the Niagara Falls, some of the biggest waterfalls in the world, 57 meters high, 1,000 meters wide, and you're standing there and you're looking up. The sound you hear, it's not just a trickle, it's like the roar of a jet engine. The water that's coming down, it's not just a gentle stream, it's torrential. There's so much water, it's 64 Olympic-sized swimming pools every minute. And the water does not stop. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. I think Ephesians chapter 1 is a little bit like that. Because as you read it, you're just overwhelmed with all of the blessings God has given us. And they just keep coming and coming and coming, and they almost build on each other. It's overwhelming. It's too big to get your head around. And it all comes from the God who is infinitely rich and has unlimited grace to give. The verses 3 to 14 in the original Greek is one sentence, 202 words long. It's almost like Paul was just so excited he didn't have time to use a full stop. He's just so overwhelmed. And it goes on and on about all these blessings that God has given us. You could be a Christian for 80 years and still have more to discover, still have more to enjoy about what God has given you in Jesus. I love the end of verse 7. It says, the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. It's a beautiful language of God lavishing on us his grace out of his riches. He's perfect and eternal and pure, and out of his riches, he's given us so much. We saw last week that you're a spiritual billionaire if you follow Jesus. And so last week we looked at the blessings that come from God the Son. That's verses 3 to 6. That you're chosen, that you're adopted. Sorry, the blessings that come from God the Father was last week, verse 3 to 6. You're chosen, you're adopted. Today we're going to keep looking at some of these blessings, and we're going to look at the blessings that come from God the Son. That's verses 7 to 10. And then God the Holy Spirit, verses 11 through to 14. Let's look at them together. Firstly, if you are a Christian, you are redeemed. Redeemed by the Son. Read verse 7 with me. It says, in him, remember that word, in him, in Christ, keeps coming up in Ephesians. It's the big theme of Ephesians, in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. What does it mean to be redeemed? To be redeemed means to be rescued from slavery. It means someone has paid a price to free you from bondage. You think of the Old Testament, God's Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. God redeemed them. He rescued them out of Egypt. Now, if you're a Christian, it says here, you've been redeemed. You've been set free. From what? From sin. Without Christ, we are facing sin's penalty. We've rebelled against God. That's what sin is. And we're facing the judgment of God. But we're also experiencing sin's power and slaves to sin's power. We're slaves to sin. We're following the cravings of the world and the flesh and the devil. And we need to be set free. We need to be freed, and that's what Jesus has done. He's redeemed you. He's freed you. How? Through his blood. Remember back in the Exodus, there was the blood on the doorposts, and God redeemed people that way. Here, it's the blood of his Son, Jesus, who died on that cross. He freed you from the penalty of sin. Your sin has been paid for. You're forgiven. That's what it says there. You're forgiven. You no longer have to worry that perhaps God is angry at you or doesn't love you. You no longer have to have the burden of guilt. You're free from it all. And you're free from the power of sin. You're no longer in bondage. You can say no to sin. You can say yes to God. You are truly free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, redeemed. Now, when you're redeemed by someone, when someone's paid a huge price to free you, you belong to them. There's a story of a small boy who decided to make a model boat. He spent a few months making this model boat with his father. And he took it down to the lake, really excited, and put it down into the lake and sailed his beautiful model boat. Until a big gust of wind came and took that model boat out until he couldn't see it again. He was devastated. Day by day, he'd walk around the shore of the lake looking for his boat, hoping that it had come up to shore. It never did. Until one day, he passed a store, a shop, and there in the window was his precious model boat. He went in and spoke to the shop owner and said, that boat there, that's my boat. Can I have it back, please? And the shop owner said, sorry, I paid good money for that boat. I bought it from a sailor. If you want it, you've got to pay for it. So the boy was devastated. He went home, and over the next few months, he saved up as much money as he could. And finally, when he had enough, he came back to that store and he bought that boat back. And he held it in his arms and he said, you are twice mine. First I made you, then I bought you. You're twice mine. First I made you, then I bought you. That's our story as well. We're twice gods. He made us. We belonged to him anyway, but we turned our back on him and sinned. But then he bought us. He paid the price for our sin by his blood. He redeemed us. And now we're twice his. That's how precious we are to our God. You're redeemed. And Ephesians goes on and says, this is actually part of a bigger plan that God is doing. A bigger plan when it says, verse 10, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Every time someone becomes a Christian, they bow their knee to Jesus. But actually, God's plan for the whole of human history is that even all of creation will come under his rule and reign. He's wrapping up, summing up everything in Jesus. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's the first thing. Number two, you're assured by the Spirit. You have assurance by the Holy Spirit. Look down at verse 11 with me. Verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, the church Bibles we have, the NIV, it's a great translation, except here. Because actually the original is a better translation. I've got it on the screen. This is the CSB. It says, in him we have also received an inheritance. It's actually a better translation, an inheritance. As a Christian, you have an inheritance. An inheritance to look forward to of eternal life. A world with no pain and no sin and no suffering when you'll be with your Savior forever. You're an heir of that, an inheritance. How do you become an heir of that great inheritance? All you need to do, verse 13, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. You hear about Jesus, the gospel, the good news, and you believe. Now, if you've never done that here this morning, maybe you've heard about Jesus, but you've never actually trusted him, all these blessings can be yours. You can be an heir too. You don't have to work. You don't have to earn God's approval. It's just hearing and believing. And if you do that, then you're an heir of this incredible inheritance. You've got such a hope to look forward to life after death. But here's the thing. If you're a normal Christian, I'm guessing you go through moments where you doubt. Moments where you think, well, how do I really know I'm going to get that inheritance? How do I really know I'm forgiven? How do I really know I'm safe? And this passage says, you know that inheritance is guaranteed because of the Holy Spirit. I was reading an article recently in the Sydney Morning Herald, and it says that over the next 20 years, there is going to be the biggest transfer of wealth in all of human history. The baby boomers are going to start to pass down inheritance to their kids. And the lawyers are already ready. The lawyers are lining up. The legal battles have already increased at an exponential rate because so many people are worried they're going to miss out on their inheritance. And the fights have started. UBS Bank estimates that there are 1,000 billionaires that are going to pass down $8 trillion over the next few years. And people are anxious. They're going to be ripped off. Someone came up to me after 8 a.m. church. They said, your sermon really spoke to me. I thought they were going to talk about something spiritual. They said, no, I've been in a legal battle for my inheritance for a number of years. Thank you, Pastor. But you don't have to be worried that you're going to be ripped off from your heavenly inheritance. You don't have to be worried that you're going to miss out because it's secure. The Holy Spirit there. Everyone has the Holy Spirit. There's a misunderstanding out there that some Christians have the Spirit and some don't, and you've got to pray for a second blessing to get the Spirit. That is not true. It says there, verse 13, when you believed, you got the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit. And the Spirit here is described as a seal, not a sea animal. Think like a wax seal that a king might write a letter and put his seal on it. Or today, it might just be a signature. That might be the equivalent. We put a signature and it says, this is mine. This is legit. This is genuine. And the Holy Spirit is like that, friends. The Holy Spirit in your heart, God's Spirit, is God's way of saying, this is my child. He is genuine. He belongs to me. And that inheritance of heaven, it is secure. The Spirit's also described as a deposit, verse 14. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. If you've ever bought a new car, you put down the deposit, and you might not get the car for another week or two. But you know it's coming. You know it's yours because you paid the deposit. And that's the Holy Spirit, the down payment. Now, this is so incredible, friends. It's even more incredible because it means every time we experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it is like a taster of eternity. It is like a foretaste of what we're going to experience for all eternity. When God's Spirit gives you joy, that's a glimpse of the eternal joy you will have for all eternity. When God's Spirit gives you comfort, that's a foretaste of the comfort you have when you're with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Or perhaps you're reading God's Word and you feel a sense of awe or conviction. That again is a taster of that awe that we will have in eternity when we inherit eternal life and we stand before our Savior. The Holy Spirit who works powerfully amongst us now is that foretaste of what is to come. And we have assurance that it is ours, that inheritance is ours because of Jesus. I don't know if you've heard this old hymn. It's a great one. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. So number one, you're redeemed by God's Son. Number two, you are assured by God's Spirit. And lastly, it's to the praise of his glory. It's to the praise of his glory. Over and over again in this section, verse 3 to 14, it keeps talking about praising God. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, we've been adopted to the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 12, we've been given the inheritance for the praise of his glory. Verse 14, the Spirit is a deposit to the praise of his glory. All of these things, the only right response is awe and worship and praise. Isn't that true? I wonder whether we should print out to the praise of his glory and you just stick it everywhere around your house. Stick it on your mirror so when you brush your teeth, you're thinking, I'm doing this to the praise of his glory. You stick it on the car dashboard so when you're tempted to have road rage, you read that. I'm driving to the praise of his glory because it's all of our life, isn't it? We owe him everything because of how much he has blessed us in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we stand in awe and wonder because of who you are and what you've done for us. And we give you great thankfulness that you've chosen us and adopted us, that you have forgiven us and saved us, that you've given us your Spirit and the hope of our inheritance. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace and believing and use us to the praise of your glory. Amen. We're going to keep praising God now in song. Let's worship God with joy in our hearts for who he is and what he's done. Please stand.